listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Show sure, yeah.
Am I the prettiest?
Show sure, yeah.
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Show sure, yeah.
Well, who am I?
Show sure, yeah.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Oh, Kylan, this is awesome. Now, Geeksters, you might hear a little bit of some strange stuff going on today, but we actually have on the line with us Stuck from 2D6. Welcome, Stuck.
Hey, thank you.
So, we're going to go, Geeksters, we're going to go over some news and some stuff like we usually do. Then we're going to have an interview. You're going to learn all about 2D6 and their awesome music and things. But, Kylan, what have you guys been up to anything over the last week?
Well, always up to something.
lots of new good. Share it is something else.
Well, actually, I've been talking to a possible guest for the show.
Okay.
He's an author. And he seems really excited about being on, and just been
that
like,
was just a teaser because we can't tell you who it is yet.
Yeah, we can't really say anything just yet.
Well,
it'd be cool.
There is a guest that I was working on that we will be able to announce is Robert Turk, the manager for Gandersnitch the Goblin. Anybody who saw Gandersnitch at Odd Mall or Con of the Cob or heard him on our show, we're gonna have his manager on here talking about a new game that he's kickstarting and probably talking about Gandersnitch, where he found Gandersnitch, and all of these types of things. That'll either be next week or 2 weeks after that. It'll depend on how schedules work.
Right. Cool.
So, that's...
Well,
what do you got?
You found him on our toadstool, didn't you?
Now, the Gandersnitch is too big for a toadstool. He may have been squashing
maybe
all the toadstools.
Yeah. He could have been little when he found him.
They found one of those Alice in Wonderland bottles that says, drink me.
Exactly.
That's exactly what happened.
We'll just make up the story until we hear the real deal.
That's right.
That's the fun part.
So that's what's coming up for us, guys. Also, remember, November 30th at the Malted Meeple in Hudson, Ohio, we are going to have a live show for Geek Watch 1 from the Meeple with Jim and Carrington, hanging out, finding out what's going on at the Meeple. This is going to be a monthly thing. The last Monday of every month, Geeksters, you can come and see us live. If you're in the room with us, you're part of the show. Remember that.
I went to drink more Ewoks.
We are going to drink Ewoks.
Well, also, Jim said they will have the milkshake flight for the next month ready for us each time. So we can tell everybody what the new milkshake flight is going to be.
Yay! We have beer.
Yeah, Monday nights they do have beer.
Monday nights. Now we can have
this is
going to
be an interesting show.
Yeah.
Okay, so after that, we have a little bit of Mother Wife Creations. Greg and Andy were telling us to remind everybody that there's a brand new Odd Mall. There's 3 Odd Malls every year now, Geeksters. The new Odd Mall is on Valentine's Day weekend in February in Canton, Ohio. Now, anybody who sells any geeky stuff or has been to Odd Mall and see what the vendors have that you think you want to be a vendor, they have spaces available. They're about 40% full for the February show, and they're still getting people in all the time. So if you want to get in on it, contact them at oddmall.com/info.
No, I think it's oddmall.info/Ohio.
There we go. Oddmall.info/Ohio. Check out there. They'll give you all the information. They are doing the cosplay contest. I believe he is going to have entertainment there. Everything that he had at the big Odd Mall, just a little bit smaller venue.
And there might be, depending on what vendors they get, there might be some food vendors this time around because the rules are a little different at this location and they can actually have more food vendors.
Read Stray Dog.
Awesome. We should talk to Stray Dog.
So something else to think about, people, is that Odd Mall, the last Odd Mall was 2 weeks ago and he's already 40% full now.
Yeah, he's about 40% full for the Valentine's weekend odd mall.
So
and he just announced that odd mall at the last odd mall. So
it's going fast. So if you want to
it's
get in on it,
it's a slightly smaller venue too. So
yeah.
Get in now.
So yeah, get in now if you can.
And also, anybody who's in the Akron area, isn't the Akron Art Museum that has it?
Yeah, Andy, Mr. Mother Oith himself, was asked to participate in an event they're having, a show they're running at the Akron Art Museum. I believe it either starts the end of this month or the very beginning of December, and it's Mooney statues, you know, those little white...
Yeah, they came in Loot Crate at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess they asked a lot of artists to actually sculpt something or modify a Mooney statue in some way based on a piece of art. And it could be their own art or some other kind of art. So Andy created a statue based on one of his pieces of art. And it's going to be in the show, like I said, starting either end of this month or beginning of next month.
I think he already dropped it off, so yeah. They may already be running it.
Well, no, they're not running the show yet. He had to drop it off early. But it's going to be a whole display of all these sculptures.
So awesome. Kind of cool. That sounds like it's going to be fun. So that's at the Akron Art Museum. Anybody who's in the Northeast Ohio area, get a hold of the Art Museum. They'll be able to tell you when the exhibit starts.
Yeah, it's probably on the website. And it doesn't cost much to get in. And I believe there's one day a week that it's actually free admission. I don't remember what
Thursdays.
Day it is. Thursdays, I think, maybe? Yeah. But okay. Yeah, so even if, you know, if you don't want to pay, there's a free admission thing, too.
Just donate. Right.
Okay. I think that takes care of all of the office matters. But now,
so.
You had a couple of quick news snippets.
Yeah,
now,
just...
Hang on, Suck, if you've got anything you want to say, go ahead and pipe up. That's fine. You're part of the show today.
Okay. All right, got it.
there were just a couple little things this week. One of them was just either yesterday or the day before, they released a pic from the set of Wonder Woman of Chris Pine as Steve Trevor.
Okay.
It's definitely a 40s, would you say, 40s?
Yeah, 40s.
Aviator kind of look to it.
Yeah, World War II.
I thought this was taking place in World War I.
I thought so, too. But it's supposed to be, it could be like a whole, you know, time span sort of thing. I don't know when she's meeting him.
Okay.
Sort of thing. But it definitely had a 40s-ish feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
It could be as early as the 20s, I don't know. But yeah, so they did release a picture, which I thought was a little early because I didn't think they were that far into it yet, but maybe it was just more of a costuming thing.
Okay.
But they did release it, and they have also announced in other DC news that another female hero may appear in the Justice League movie. They're talking about bringing in Mira, the Queen of Atlantis.
Oh, okay.
I guess almost like a major character for the movie, considering her connection to...
For which movie?
Aquaman. For Justice League.
Justice League? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that would make
Aquaman's
sense.
Play such a
if
big
they're
going to
have Justice Aquaman, they would have his wife.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll
she
be
actually has
see.
A big role in that new Bombshells series.
Mm-hmm.
She took the place of Aquaman in that
exactly.
series.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see how big a role she might have in the movie. And of course, because they just mentioned this, it's not like they're looking at casting, but of course people are going to try coming up with casting for her already.
Right.
But yeah, so those were the little bits of news, and I have a small Deadpool download.
Uh-oh.
They have announced that the trailer is likely coming in December. They haven't said about when in December, but December for you know, you had the one trailer that was released that was more of a teaser sort of thing, but the main trailer, they're talking about December. And in Deadpool comics news, which I don't often talk about Deadpool comics, but I should because I read them all, Rob Liefeld...
Liefeld.
I can pronounce it how I want. Thank you very much. He is launching a new Deadpool graphic novel. He is actually one of the co-creators of Deadpool, in case you didn't know that. So it's kind of a big deal that he's coming back
that
to write
this. That actually makes sense now.
Yeah. it's a big deal he's coming back to write this. And it is a flat-out graphic novel. He says... he's actually had this in his head for years. He's written parts of it. He's done drawings for over the years. And he wanted to do it in graphic novel form because he didn't want it split up between issues. He didn't want to have to stop with some cliffhangers at the end of every issue and break up the story that way. He wanted just a full-on story to tell. And so it's not coming out for a while. So it's expected next year.
Okay.
But... It should be pretty good. I mean, it's a full-on, and it's a little more serious. It's on the serious side. It's not like the silly. It's still going to have, of course, his multiple voices and such like that, but it's not the silly Deadpool kind of stuff we've seen recently. Mm-hmm. It's on the serious side. But, yeah, it's called Deadpool Bad Blood, so expect it next year sometime, and I'm sure I'll announce it on the show when it comes out. that's really all I have.
That's all we had. Mm-hmm. It was a light news week this week.
It really was a light news week, yeah.
I'm just curious, who, for whom... Oh, sorry. Did I get cut off there?
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Like, for whom is that that graphic novel? I mean, like, the people who like Deadpool, I mean, those are the people... None of these people like Deadpool in his first inception, because he's not... He's a serious character back then. Anybody who likes Deadpool nowadays seems like they would like him because he's goofy and silly, and Liefeld's art is pretty much... critically, I mean, panned universally, right? I'm just curious for who that is for, this graphic novel.
I think more for the hardcore fan. Like, quite honestly, I would look forward to this because I followed Deadpool since his inception.
Right.
So I think that's kind of more who it's for. Like, a lot, like you said, a lot of the people who want it nowadays are looking for the smart mouth that's going to be in the movie.
Right.
A lot of them are the Tumblr fans who probably aren't going to read the comics anyway. So I think it's definitely more for the hardcore and for those who read it for the sake of story, too, because there's so many people who that's why you read the comics, because some of the stories are so good now.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm like you. I'm not a fan of Liefeld. We were talking about it this morning, and I just kind of had to...
I told Kyle he couldn't say much about it.
because the other show I'm on, when it looked like Liefeld was actually coming back to Marvel. Oh. So I won't say any more.
Well, okay,
than
I have
that.
To admit, I'm not a fan of a lot of his overall art for a lot of other characters. For Deadpool, though, I kind of like it. I like that the hardcore kind of art he does for Deadpool.
Well, it works for, I think maybe because he created that character and his art style works for Deadpool, but
it doesn't work for a lot of other, like a lot of the X-Men and Captain America. It doesn't work for a lot of them. It really doesn't.
I find it kind of interesting that they're doing something like this when 20th Century Fox is getting ready to put out this movie that Marvel, this seems like something that would bring more attention to it, and Marvel traditionally at this moment has been trying to pull away from the 20th Century Fox properties.
True. Yeah, but see, Marvel loves Deadpool.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Deadpool showed up in Ultimate Spider-Man.
He brings them a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's not going to matter.
He's part of Uncanny Avengers now, too. But, I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword here because, I mean, of course they want to turn their backs on, you know, X-Men and Deadpool and all that stuff. But at the same time, that's some of the only things that's keeping their comic branch alive are the sales of those things.
Right.
I mean, so, I don't know.
I agree, so...
And plus, being that this comes out in 2016, it's not in production just yet. They're just starting. So it'll be long after the movie, too.
Yeah,
right.
So it's not necessarily... I mean, who knows? It may give a little more boost to the DVD sales or something, but it's not going to really affect the movie.
Okay.
I got to say, Deadpool... I go to a lot of conventions, and Deadpool fans, like... I grew to dislike Deadpool simply because... I mean, you were talking about the Tumblr fans earlier.
Yeah.
And good Lord. I mean... Deadpool fans are interesting people. But then I picked up issue 200 of Deadpool right before the Secret Wars, last spring or so, because it had side stories written by a lot of people who run podcasts that I enjoy, like Akram Blacker of Thrilling Adventure Hour, Scott Aukerman of Comedy Bang Bang, and it was so enjoyable to read.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, his comic iteration is a lot of fun. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, a lot of these Tumblr fans, it's like you want to push them toward the comics. It's like, it's not just how he looks, and it's not just him being a jokester. Read the comic. It's really good.
I read Talking Jive and Taking Lives. Which one was that? Number 13?
Oh, the crossover with Luke Cage.
Yeah, the crossover, Luke Cage and Iron Fist. And it was brilliant, you know, because it had that whole blaxploitation vibe going on and the whole kung fu movie thing going on also. But... at the same time, still very Deadpool,
mm-hmm.
in the best way possible. So
he's more. There's more depth to him than he gets credit for with all the Comic-Con play he gets.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he's the hot hero right now.
Yeah.
Right. Sort of like what happened when Wolverine was the hot one. And, yeah. You know.
At least the movie, they've got, you know, it's an origin story sort of thing, and they'll bring a little more depth to it, and you'll actually see him as a character.
Right.
And not just as a comic.
True.
You know, in that way.
Okay, so was there any more news, you think, this week, or was that pretty much it?
There was some news this week.
Are
we going to talk about it?
Which one?
The action figures?
Yeah.
Hasbro screwed up again?
Well.
Yeah, shocked.
That's standard.
It's like
Hasbro.
It's not even news anymore that, you know, let's put out a set of action figures for the biggest movie of the year, but leave out the main female character, because, you know.
Well, the main character.
Yeah, the main character, period.
If you look at the trailers, look at everything else, Finn is the main character, but Rey has more screen time than anybody else in the movie, in the trailers.
But you don't want to put her in a set of the action figures.
No.
Boys won't play with her.
No, geeksters. Anybody who hasn't heard this story yet, Dawn, you want to just give them a quick overview of what's going on?
Well, basically, we've talked about this on other editions, how it seems to be every time, especially Hasbro, is putting out sets of action figures, they see no reason to include primary female characters. They did this with Avengers leaving Black Widow out of the sets. They did it with Guardians of the Galaxy leaving Gamora out of the sets. And even finding individual action figures of them is hard as hell. Like, you can't even find them individually. And so now, after all of this happens and all the flack they get for it, they come out with, it's a Target exclusive set of 6 action figures for Star Wars The Force Awakens, and you have Finn and Chewie and Kylo Ren and... Who's the pilot?
Poe Dameron.
And then you have a generic trooper and a generic TIE fighter pilot.
Well, you have to have a trooper. For some reason, Hasbro, every set they put out has a stormtrooper.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I don't know why it does.
But they could have had Captain Phasma as the trooper involved. But that's just it. No Phasma and no Rey, who is the main character. Just none to be seen.
Maybe that's an actual spoiler, that's the 6 people that are going to die in the movie.
There you go.
Hey, I can guarantee...
One stormtrooper.
Yeah, I can guarantee there's going to be plenty of TIE pilots and stormtroopers dying in this
movie.
That's true.
Those are your expendables
right
there.
So you need a token one for each.
Yeah.
Part of what bothers me about this, it's not just that they have the generic trooper and pilot, but they have Chewie. How many action figures does Chewie have already?
Maybe that's true. Maybe he's actually the one that's dead. Maybe he's the one that Rey's crying.
Well, let's have the action set of Chewie in a coffin. Come on. But
no, but see, the funny part is
Rey.
Is talking about, like, the dolls, the girls, you know, girl toys. The funny part is, growing up, my brother's 2 years younger than me. We always traded. Mm-hmm. He always stole my Barbie dolls, stripped them, and did positions with them, and I always play with his doll.
There's a reason boys need the girl dolls. Come on.
Exactly. I always played with his cars, and he was always doing things with the Barbie dolls.
But yeah, so it's almost like it's news, but non-news, because it's like, yet again, they've done this. So
right.
Yeah.
We'll see if they make up for it at all with other sets at other stores, or how they're gonna...
It's just gonna be a joke.
Okay. Well, Geeksters, I think that covered our news for the week. So, you know what? We'll be back in just a minute with Suck from 2D6.
From Cleveland, here's the mission. The world's around us, locking down like a prison. Like you were Snake Plissken or Daryl Dixon, hidden in the governor's town. Now, but listen, if this order was given from way on high, nerds must die. They said, here's the reason why. No explanation, it makes it entertainment. A Roman Colosseum with geeks and containment. Ain't it funny? Leader every geek stinks. They got this unlocked because the Hunger Games taught the survival shit. But blink and they're gone. Battle Royale can't set off that bomb. So how will this end? Like the ultimate showdown. Public broadcasters swing its totes around. Viewers like you can't always be found when they fear editors shovel them into the ground.
Hear the sound all around. It's feeling supernatural. Swinging for the mandible of all the fans of Hannibal. Battle cries, Cassio, the fighting all the cannibals. Lean and mean to be machine is fighting like an animal. It wasn't even planned at all, but all the Doctor Whovians are suddenly surrounded by a bunch of different movie fans. Seeing Sith and Jedi on the same sides unsettling. Alien and Predator together just been wedding. It's really pretty threatening, but here comes the cavalry. Supernat and Sherlock come together from the Battersea. super who locks, turn the tide. Now they're looking for itching for a fight. All the wizards out of Pottermore. Keeping track of Slaughter's more demanding than it seems. The Homestuck's a useless, unorganized team. Then there's the bronies and neckbearded cataclysm. It's all about ethics in fandom battle journalism.
Clear out the plan.
Go, go!
Comic strip, last words for a dude got karate kick, pow, in the kisser, a Hoovian shot up like a missile and started playing the theme on a slide whistle. In Cleveland Heights, it ain't even right, thought the Homestucks were in even fight. Cam's corners like a scene from Transformers, news reporters with buckets over their camcorders. And in Lakewood, it ain't good, let's go to Shaker Square, cameras take us there, making signs of cosplay, turn to blows thrown. Body's body paint, made a body ache, call the cops, the feds, a dude in UC smacked his brother with the top of his feds. And every box full of inside jokes and fan shaming, bro, you better get the safety. Happening in the Cleveland streets. Battlestar fans beating up TNGs. It's looking like some Dragon Ball Z repeats. The Frieza was fighting Vegeta on PCP.
What is happening?
That's an excellent question. It seems they gathered in peace, then were met with rejection. And the Game of Thrones folks showed up with extra protection. Some reflection, I never saw so many replica weapons. Infighting among the Trekkies tore them apart. The more they argued over Spock and Kirk or Worf and Picard. And if I hadn't seen it, I wouldn't believe it if you told me how everybody got together to beat up the bronies. These aren't the fandoms we need, it's the battle we deserve. Still, it's hard to try and fathom what has actually occurred. It's practically exactly what happened in the purge. Just imagine it with nerds.
Andy says, you found Geek Watch 1. These are the geeks you're looking for. Dot, dot, dot.
And we're back. We are chilling. We're back with Stuck from 2D6. So, Stuck, we asked and you said yeah to hanging out with us. We appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on.
Oh, sure. Anytime.
Yeah.
So, okay. You're a nerdcore, huh? What?
What is
2D6? I was about to get into it!
Was that a question? Was that your question?
That was Dawn feeding Kylan questions.
Not patience, let me do it.
Roundabout way again.
Let me do it my way! Alright, so...
into it.
So, 2D6.
Yeah.
You're nerdcore.
Correct, yes.
And so... So tell us about 2D6.
Okay, so 2D6. It's me and the other guy in the group, Cliff B, and we are nerdcore hip hop artists, which means that, you know, we write songs about role playing games and video games and movies and TV shows and comic books and all sorts of stuff. We're based in Ohio, and we do a lot of local conventions, which is sort of how I ran into you guys and met you guys. And that's about it as far as 2D6 is concerned, I guess.
Well, how did you start off, like, were you into hip-hop, and then you're like, hey... why don't I rap about what I know, or what you're familiar with?
Yeah, what's the origin story for 2D6?
No, I like that. That's a good question, because, you know, I honestly didn't listen to a lot of hip-hop growing up until sort of the... the nerdcore genre became a thing. MC Frontalot was kind of the progenitor of the genre, and I was when he first came out with songs, it was on a website called Song Fight, where basically they released a title and then people had 1 week to write a song about it, and then whoever, you know, there was like a voting period and the best man wins, and so there was a guy named MC Frontalot, and he released a couple songs on there, and that's how I kind of learned about him, maybe back in 2001 or so.
Okay.
And that was not just my introduction to nerdcore, but kind of my introduction to hip-hop in general. So I then kind of jumped into not just the subgenre, but the genre as a whole. Listened to a lot of kind of nerdcore tangential stuff, like Del the Funky Homo Sapien and, you know, Beastie Boys, stuff like that.
Right.
And then Cliff started doing his own thing in about 2005 or 6, and he released a couple little solo things. And I decided, I was like, I want to be on a track with you. I like rap. We can do this together. And we, I recorded some stuff. I kind of bullied him into recording a track with me. And we, honestly, it was, I sat him down. I was like, oh, let's go out. I'll buy you dinner. You know, let's go hang out. And I bought him. I was like, I'm not paying for your food unless you let me on a song with you. And so we wrote the lyrics there. We wrote them at Denny's, and that's about it. And then we realized that it was a really fun combination, and we liked working with each other, and we've been doing it ever since.
Cool. So
yeah.
Now, I came into nerdcore, I don't know, maybe about 2 or 3 years ago.
Uh huh.
And you're the first nerdcore group that I've actually had personal contact with.
Okay. I'm so sorry. That's awful. But, all right, continue.
That could be TMI.
It's cool. It's cool. But the thing is, like, now I go back and I listen to a lot of stuff, and it's funny how it seems like that there are some artists that I listen to that, okay, they can't be described as nerdcore, but they make a lot of geeky references, like, okay, Wu-Tang Clan references a lot of comics, and like they'll reference comics, they'll reference which one is it?
Games.
And they love referencing Voltron, like, all the time. And so,
who doesn't love Voltron? I mean, come on.
I don't think NWA cared about Voltron. But
yeah, you are 100% right. I mean, when you look back at the history of hip hop, especially hip hop, maybe in the 90s or so, I mean, that's the inception of nerdcore. That's where it comes out, even if these people weren't calling themselves nerdcore. I mean, you have people like MF Doom, who, you know, hugely popular. I mean, even his name is a reference to Victor Von Doom. Right. His alias was King Ghidorah from Godzilla, and he had his whole, like, Toho group of friends. And so, I mean, yeah, nobody called themselves nerdcore back then because it wasn't a thing. I mean, hip hop was just starting to become, you know, truly mainstream.
Right.
But certainly you see the inception of the subgenre.
Right. And so it's funny that when I first started listening to you was a year and a half ago at Oddmall, and I'm like,
the first experience was live too.
Yeah, the first experience was live, and I'm like,
yeah.
I was like, oh,
that's,
wow.
That's the way to take us in. On album, we're one thing, but live is really different.
If anyone out there ever gets the chance, you have to see these guys live, because Stock is a maniac when he raps.
Yeah.
He never sits still. He's not in one place for more than about 3 seconds. He runs everywhere. He steals your cameras.
Pants go flying off.
Oh, yeah. Pants are off regularly at their shows.
Yeah, that's one of our mainstays.
You really do just prefer, you know, walking around in your boxers, don't you? I mean, you just kind of need an excuse to get there.
I'm glad that I'm not on webcam right now.
So, okay, so now, what? Now, he was doing a hip-hop thing. Was he doing a nerdcore thing when you two got together? Or was he? Because Northeast Ohio has a lot of independent rappers, you know, and especially mm-hmm. around the Cleveland area. There's a lot of independent rappers, and it seems to be a thing. So was Cliff
Was he doing an independent rapper thing, or was he doing a nerdcore thing when you two got together?
I mean, I think he was kind of in the same boat as a lot of people, that he didn't truly really want to define himself. Because when you define yourself as nerdcore, when you limit yourself to that subgenre, I mean, not like I ever regret doing it with 2D6, because I wouldn't know how to write about something serious, because right. I'm just too goofy. But but honestly, when you block yourself into that, it really, you know, we can never write a song about, you know, our first love, or, you know, a tragedy that happened to us, because nobody would listen to it. And not that I'd even want them to. But but yeah, Cliff's first album, like, it had a song about, you know, him growing up with the Sega Genesis, but it also had a song about, like, you know, him dealing with the passing of his aunt. Right. So, you know, it was kind of all over the place. So I would say he was, you know, independent with a touch of nerdcore here and there. So,
right. Well, yeah. I mean, there's one song on your last studio album that, well, it's sort of like a whole first love thing going on.
in a twisted
kind of way.
I mean, yeah, that's. I assume you're referring to the song where our girlfriend, our number one, the idea is that we each have, or that we have one girlfriend for the two of us, which is already pretty weird. I think we refer to her as the band girlfriend on the track. Yeah. But that she breaks up with us because we can't stop making references, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the vocals on that were really good, I have to say.
Yeah, we got some. I mean. And we're lucky that we kind of got our start in Northeast Ohio, and Youngstown is where we're from. And that track was kind of a throwback to when we first started being a band, because there's two people on there. The guitar solo in the middle is this guy named Mike Gismondi of a local Youngstown kind of like thrash metal band called Chaos Reigns. But he's a virtuoso.
Okay.
And then the beautiful female vocals on the chorus are Bernadette Lim, who's with a Youngstown band called The Zoo. And they are they've gotten national recognition. They've played, you know, national tours, and we're lucky enough that, you know, we played in Youngstown enough that these people saw us and love the band and were willing to come on our stupid little album and do parts for us. But
when you get people that actually decide to come on, are you ever surprised that people actually want to come on your album with you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, in this album coming up, we have people. One of the tracks that I'm going to send you guys to play, you know what, we'll just say, the track you just heard in that last break.
nice.
It featured Mega Ran and Tribe One, who are two, like, they're... I mean, saying nerdcore superstar is kind of like saying you have, like, you know, 1,000 fans. But still, like, these guys are nerdcore superstars. Like, they're awesome. They are tremendous. And they're intensely good rappers. And I was truly blown away that they wanted to be on our album. But again, there are people who've seen us perform and were like, I would love to do something with these guys, which really is very flattering.
Ooh. See, I know that feeling with us when anybody wants to actually come on our show.
Yeah. Yeah, we're like, right? You do realize that we're not that good at this, right? Right? Okay. I'm like, all right.
Don't actually tell people that.
Well, I never actually... Well, you know, I believe in giving full disclosure, so that way nobody can say that I misled them in anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think... No matter what you, there's that psychological, you know, what's it called? Imposter syndrome, I think, where you feel like, oh, I'm not actually good enough to do this thing or be that person. So, I mean, we have that all the time. People tell us we're good and fun, but I still think, like, we are the worst at this.
Oh, no. No, I mean, whenever I find out that you guys are performing and I actually I'm actually free that night, that's where I am. That's where I'm going. So,
well, here, you want to see me blow Kylan's mind? You do anything tomorrow night on Monday? They're going to be in Cleveland.
They are?
Say you're going. Now, when everybody hears this show, it's going to be too late to hear it. But let Kylan know what you're doing tomorrow night, Saker.
Kylan.
Stuck.
Listeners of Geek Watch 1, you've missed an amazing show where we opened for a band called I Fight Dragons. They're like a super cool nerd rock band. It's going to be at Beachland Ballroom, and it's going to be a blast.
Really?
Are you coming, Kylan?
Hold on, are we looking this up now?
I don't think we have anything tomorrow night.
Put your money where your mouth is, Kyle. You said if I ever have a free night.
Okay, there's a possibility. There's a possibility.
The Beachland Ballroom's not hard to find.
No, I've been there. Oh, we've been there. Let me just make sure that I am free. If I am free tomorrow night, I will be there.
And you'll have your recorder with you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can put in some live clips. We'll do some something live for you.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So, Geeksters, you will have missed this show, but Sacred, do you guys have any other shows coming up?
Actually, we are taking kind of an extended break. We're doing our fifth album right now. And so our fifth album is kind of being finished, and it's in the works as we speak. So we're kind of taking some time off to finish that up. Our next few shows are in March, actually. We take a big old break. Speaking of, if you want to hire 2D6 for a house show or a convention, go to 2D6music.com.
Actually, let me talk to you about that after we're done.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, all right. Sweet. Perfect.
Andy gave me a question to ask you.
That's amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if you guys ever, if anyone out there ever comes to like Odd Mall and Con on the Cob, 2D6 is often playing there, so that's your chance to see them too.
Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I'm the musical director of Con on the Cob for some bizarre reason.
See, there you go. You can run into him without even having to go to a show and then go to the show as well. You can see him in normal mode and then in DJ mode.
So, what year did you guys actually get together as 2D6?
I think we did our first song in 2009 as our little one-off thing. And, because we've been releasing an album a year, which is an insane pace. Don't ever do that if you're a band. But, our first album was in 2011, and this will be our fifth album this year in 2015. Yeah, so 2010 or 11, I guess, was when we first got our start.
Well, Vicky and I yesterday, through Bandcamp, were able to listen to your last album. And one thing we noticed was oftentimes the names of your songs have nothing to do with the song itself. What's the story behind that?
Let me tell you how hard it is to sell a CD to somebody if they've never heard you before and they pick up your CD and they see like a Fever for Boners on the back of it and they're like, I'm done with this, thank you. And, like, and you desperately trying to be like, no, it has nothing to do with what, never mind. But oh my God, I'm trying to think of where that even originated, but I don't know if there was an origin. I think it was just us being idiots, and we decided it would be funny if we had titles that have nothing to do with anything. But now, basically, so what we do is, if we ever say something in real life that we think is funny, I have this list in my phone that I'm looking through right now of, like, maybe 100 possible titles for 2D6 songs in the future. Like, radishes are not mentioned once in the Constitution. Or, I named my butthole Jackson Polio. I don't remember where half of these come from, but... So now it's just we pull them from weird bits of conversation.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I was at one of your shows. I bought your thumb drive that had like a bunch of all your old stuff on it, along with the newest, most recent. I'll say your most recent CD. Now, when I was at your last show, I don't know how I missed it, but you did a song about monks.
But was this before or after you dropped your pants?
I never dropped my pants.
He was not a pants dropper.
I did not do it.
That was Vern. Vern was the one.
I heard Vern did.
Vern did. Yeah. I did not.
Along with Andy, as usual.
Yeah. So, we try to encourage as many people as possible.
So the song about monks, which... Because I'm like, okay, I don't remember that anywhere.
Obviously, he doesn't know the name of the actual song.
No. Or do you remember
the name of that song is... The Reluctant Hot Dog.
The Reluctant
So I don't blame you at all for not knowing it.
The Reluctant.
Now you know what to look up. The Reluctant Hot Dog.
All right, good, because I think that would be a great gym song.
There you go.
Oh, good, man. That's awesome.
Well, Vicky actually had a question after listening to that album. Vicky, what was it?
Which one?
The one about decorating?
Well, I had one. But what's their opinion on
we'll get to that one. We'll get that one. What was the other one?
And the other
Since we're there, she wanted to know, have you seen The Martian?
No, I've not seen The Martian yet.
Okay, then he wouldn't.
Oh, you wouldn't understand anyway.
Boo. Okay.
Okay, well, go ahead with the other one.
How do you decorate poop?
Yeah, how do you decorate poop for Halloween?
Yeah, carefully, I think, is how you do it, because it's fragile. I mean, that'll just fall apart. You've got to keep it submerged. They sell Barbie clothes. Go to Target, go to Walmart, go wherever. You buy, like, the, you know, sports-themed, you know. You can even buy, like, a little convertible for your poop, or, it's compatible with any of those, Star Wars figurines we talked about. You know, he looks great in a Poe Dameron jacket. We call it poo. Not Poe, but...
Yes. Poe Dameron.
Poe Dameron.
Yeah. But honestly, okay. Here's how the evolution of that song... all these songs have secret histories, but I wrote down the lines, I got a dookie dude, I got a poopy too, I'm in the bathroom playing battle shits with Lucy Liu. Is this a family-friendly podcast?
Yeah, but I'm going to put a warning at the beginning anyway.
Okay. But, and so I was like, oh, these lines have nothing to do with anything, but I have to build something off of them. So I wrote that whole song. I even wrote Cliff's part for that song. That song is 100% me. I was like, I have to do something with these two lines because I think they're funny. And it evolved into dressing up your poo for Halloween.
Good job.
Now, as an example, guys, it's all about dressing up your poo for Halloween, but what's the name of the song?
The name of the song is 30 Buttholes, and then as a parenthetical, Too Beautiful to Live.
I would walk around my old, the place where I used to work, singing that song to myself. and I'm just like, it's so catchy.
The funny thing is, Saker, if you knew where he worked, we could tell you a general where you used to work.
It was a financial institution. I'll just put it like that. It was a financial institution. So I'm sitting there like, awesome. Like you know the lyrics. You wrote them.
That's awesome. No, we get a lot of people come up to us afterwards and tell us that, not specifically that song, but the Take a Poop on the Dance Floor song gets stuck in their head all the time. So I'll take credit for that. That's an earworm, certainly.
How can the tune of Have a Nagila not get stuck in your head? I mean, really?
It's true, yeah. It's
and then you just, the words are just there automatically now.
It's well, true. Saker, you or Suck, you said you. I keep messing this up. You said you guys go to a lot of different conventions and stuff. Do you have any, like, really great convention story?
Oh my gosh. I mean, honestly, our most insane convention stories are always from Con on the Cob, which is so lucky. Con on the Cob last year, this year was amazing. Last year, also amazing. But in 2013, that's when the crowd just, like, I feel like there was a coordinated plan of attack where everyone drank, like, half a bottle of vodka and then came to our show. Like, they were all equally drunk. And it was, like, just yell out whatever you feel like yelling out. People pressured me to strip down to nothing. Of course, they did that this year, too. And, there was a whole, like, off my lawn. People would not stop chanting off my lawn over and over again. They held up our show for, like, 5 minutes. You can actually hear that. It's on one of our live CDs. But, man, Con on the Cob just gets so crazy, which I love insane crowds. Yeah. The drunker, the better, to be honest.
Yeah, this year's Con on the Cob, I was like...
Well,
did you make it down for our party?
Exactly. This year's Con on the Cob was weird because we played two shows. Our Friday show was an official Con on the Cob show where it was in the music room and it was pretty low key. It was fun. We premiered some new songs and we had a good time and people seemed to enjoy it. And then on Saturday, we had the Rogue Cthulhu party show,
right,
which was like a hotel party. People were blitzed, and that show got insane, which I dollars were tucked into, like, my boxers. And it was a weird show, but it was fun as
well. Kylan and I were at that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one to be at if you were at only one.
That's the one where Kylan says Vernon won the con.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did he win the con?
Oh. Well, we've told the story on here before, but as well, let's say here.
He had many things going on at that con, and it was his very first con ever.
And he
there were ladies involved.
Ladies involved. You
know. I see. Okay.
Motorboating.
Oh, my goodness.
The lady's husband sitting beside her.
Wow.
And dropping his pants at your show. So there, he had it all.
Yes.
Perfect. Oh, my. That's the perfect first con experience.
Exactly.
He made poor Cam jealous.
Yeah. Hopefully, Vernon's one of our bloggers on our website, and basically, he's a mini Kylan.
Okay.
I know, everybody thought you guys were father and
son. Well, yeah. I'm kind of
proud. There's really kind of almost a father and son thing going on when they hang out together, but they act like they're the same age.
What?
There's nothing 12. Wrong with that.
See, that, now I gotta find a mini me.
We have to find a mini Ken.
It's not you my did. Fault that he and I, we click.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, by the way, Vern is a hardcore 2D6 convert. He said, thank you. He said, I would not have come to that show unless you told me I needed to, and thank you. I said, and you're welcome.
That's awesome to hear. Thank you, man. That's awesome.
So, I try to preach the gospel 2D6 everywhere I go.
You're a good man.
We do have a replacement for Ken. We need to introduce him to like the wrestling locker room, get him dry humped by a couple of wrestlers. He'll come out of his shell. It'll be good.
Bring him out of his shell a little.
That's what they do the new guys in the thing. I've got pictures of him dry humping guys.
What happens in a wrestling locker room stays in the wrestling locker room.
Unless it's talked about on the podcast.
Yeah, unless Vicky talks about it on the podcast.
Oh, hold on. I have a Battle of the Bands question for you, Stuck.
Battle of the Bands. Okay.
Yes. You ready for this?
Sure.
All right. I'm gonna tap your musical knowledge.
So is this like a Battle of the Nerdcore Network Stars?
Something like that. Okay. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Josie and the Pussycats versus Jim and the Holograms. Who wins?
Oh boy. I mean, here's the deal. Are we talking about 70/80s versus 2000s? Because I mean, Jem and the Holograms were way better in the cartoon incarnation. But as far as movies go, Josie and the Pussycats was tolerable. And I haven't seen Jem and the Holograms, but I hear that it is an abomination of nature.
Yeah, no one else saw it either.
Let's go with the original cartoon.
Let's go with the original cartoon incarnations.
Oh, I mean, to be honest, I never watched much Josie and the Pussycats, but it's hard to... I mean, Jem is truly amazing.
Right.
I mean, yeah. It is awesome. So, no, absolutely. Battle of the Bands, it wins by a mile. Okay. Is that the right answer?
There is no right or wrong answer.
You just wanted to know your opinion.
I just wanted to hear your opinion.
Where's the key? No, you don't have a key?
No.
This isn't fair.
No. it's sort of like a musical Rorschach test.
Oh, no. I have a complex. I need to know if I'm right or not.
Okay, here's one.
Well, hang on.
What?
In my opinion, you're actually leaning right anyway, because Jem and the Holograms had the better stage show, and I lean more towards 80s music than 70s music, the music's got me,
my
too.
My problem is, Jem and the Holograms as a show as a whole would probably win, but because of the Misfits, not because of Jem.
That's just because the Misfits are evil. You're good with anything evil.
Misfits had better music, I think.
You were a punk rock fan, weren't you? You were a punker.
Hey, you know what? See,
that's why I go with Misfits.
In my opinion, I'm sorry.
You like Josie.
I like Josie and the Pussycats. I'm sorry. The cat suits get me every time.
Yeah, but see, you were a kid when that was new.
I know.
None of us were around yet.
Thing.
That doesn't matter.
None of us were around yet.
I could have been born in 1981. If I had seen Josie and the Pussycats, I'm sorry to
cat suits.
It would
have given you a thing for the cat suit.
I'm a sucker for a cat suit.
So it's not the music or anything. It's the cat suit.
Well, the music is good, too.
It was
wow.
It was the two.
You're sexualizing these. That's all that matters to you, isn't it?
Objectification.
Hey, Mister. I like Sailor Moon. Is that wrong?
Hey, listen. I like it for purely surface. Honestly, I love Sailor Moon. Even if you know they are wearing skirts that are way too short for them, I still love Sailor Moon regardless.
I always thought the original Sailor Moon was poor.
No, not.
That's an urban myth.
Yeah, no, that's
I've
not
seen
true.
The Japanese version. It's not that big.
No,
different.
It's not. No. Okay, here's another one.
I was just about to say, I just rewatched all 200 episodes of Sailor Moon last year, and still just as good as the day I watched it initially.
So are you going to cosplay her at the next show?
I don't want to tip my hand. To be honest, I have cosplayed Sailor Jupiter before. So, those pictures exist somewhere out there on the internet.
Oh, and Miss Dawn is our web mistress, so I'm sure she can find this.
If you, I put a picture of it on the next 2D6. We're releasing a DVD for the first time ever in conjunction with this Kickstarter that we just finished.
Oh, awesome.
And there's a... one of the hidden things on there is that picture of me as Sailor Jupiter.
Oh, we'll be looking for that then.
Oh, so you're going to have the actual hidden features on it.
Oh, yeah, there's hidden videos and all sorts of weird stuff on that. On
DVDs. I love that on DVDs.
Yeah, me too. That's my favorite thing.
So we got probably another 10, 15 minutes. Where do we want to go with this?
I guess it's time to ask the typical, you know, rock musician question or musician question. Where do you see 2D6 going in the future?
Where do we see 2D6 going? To be honest, that's such a hard question. I just moved. Me and Cliff were about an hour away from one another. He was in Youngstown and I was in the Akron-Canton area. And I live in Columbus now.
Right.
So with 2D6 being further apart, it's become a lot more difficult to schedule shows. So I think for a while... I mean, man, it's so hard to say because you always want to hear answers like, oh, you know, bigger and better things. We're going to go on a tour and we're going to. But 2D6 might slow down for a little while here in the next few years and just sort of do some releases, play some more convention shows. I mean, we're still going to be entertaining people as much as we can, but we probably won't be playing as much as we used to. You know, that's such a hard thing to hear. But I don't know. Hopefully at some point, my ultimate goal is to get Cliff up to Columbus, and then we can start releasing weekly, you know, studio albums. I want 17 tracks a week, new songs, and I want to play at least 5 days a week, a live show. And no, I don't know. I hope that we can make it work, and we're going to see what happens. We're just going to kind of feel it out from here.
So you guys do have a goal down the road of hopefully making this actually a career type deal.
No, oh my God, no. This will never be a career for us. I don't know how full-time independent musicians who are not on a label do it. You know, at best, cons we do well on might be able to pay, you know, a half a month's worth of rent for one of us. It is not a lucrative thing. We do it because we love it.
Yeah.
I love doing this more than I love most things in my life. It is one of my favorite things to do and the best hobby. But yeah, it's not something sustainable. And plus, we sample a lot. This is totally illegal. I don't know if anybody told you that, but... I could never see this being a career, but it is the most fun hobby I've ever had.
See, we kind of know what you're feeling there. That's kind of where we end up at.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in terms of trying to make this a career, you mean, or?
Well, just of doing this because you love it, because we're definitely not making any money at this.
No. But then again, we haven't even been doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yet. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's hard. You guys got to get a sponsor. What's Stamps.com doing? Wait, what's that? I'm sorry, you cut out for a sec.
Oh, no. We were just laughing about that. Dawn, you had a question?
I did have a question. Since you guys cover so many things geek in all your songs and everything, what are your particular fandoms? Like, what are the maybe, like... two or three things that you're really super into?
Alright, I'm looking around my room right now. Obviously Sailor Moon is still a huge thing for me.
Right.
I am super into... I mean, I released a solo. I haven't released a solo thing since 2009 because I can't write, like, music on my own. I don't know why, but just like I have to have Cliff there, and it has to have that kind of that that chemistry.
Right.
But I did release an album last year called Top Three, where I talk about my top three video games of all time, and I wrote a song about each of them. Cool. So I Parappa the Rapper is one of my video games that I love so much, even today. Nice. That series is incredible. Silent Hill is another one where, I mean, as a fandom, we keep getting the crap beaten out of us because Konami is the company that makes it, and they are just being... They've not produced a good game in forever, and they keep canceling things. There's all sorts of stuff. I don't know. You said just two or three, right? I mean, honestly, I could go on for a while. But
hey, we have time. Yeah, we don't have a time limit, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm into a lot of retro stuff too. I mean, gaming is kind of my passion. I love video games, and I think that comes out in the music. I make a lot more video game references than I do anime or comic book. I love that stuff, but all my friends are playing like Fallout 4 right now and things like that. But honestly, I've been playing retro things for as long as I can remember. Right now, I was just over at my friend's house. He was playing Fallout 4, and then I came home and started playing Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages for the Game Boy Color, because I've been meaning to play that forever. Nice. So the difference in graphics there is obvious, but right. The difference in quality is not, because they're just as good as, you know, games that came out recently. So
cool.
So what's Cliff into?
That's a great question. Cliff is very much into raising a baby and having no time to do anything else. Cliff is super into Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I would say if he had a fandom, that might be his fandom. He loves Power Rangers. He loves Shrek, and I can't tell if it's ironic or non-ironic anymore. He started out making fun of it, but now I think it's truly his passion, is reposting Shrek stuff on his Facebook, and I think he's become enamored with it. I think he looks at Shrek and he sees kind of his spirit animal. He sees a kindred spirit.
You have to be careful with that, because I found that when I, if there's something that I start making fun of it, and I start making fun of it on a regular basis, you end up developing a weird kind of love for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you absolutely.
Know,
no doubt.
Yeah, it's sort of like the thing with me and Renee Zellweger. Like, I've actually caught myself, like, actually, like, you know what? She really deserves to have more notoriety.
So we got, what, another 2 to 3 weeks before he starts loving Channing Tatum?
No! I don't ever mention him. That name
does not leave
my mouth.
That's true, everyone else mentions it to get him going, yeah.
No.
Yeah, in case you didn't know, Stuck, Kylan loves the fact that Channing Tatum's gonna be Gambit.
Oh, nice. Can't wait. That's gonna be amazing. Hey, man. Channing was funny in, what was that End of the World movie called? Was it called This is the End?
Oh, yeah, This is the End.
I never seen
it. Oh, you gotta see that movie.
Well, there's a reason.
You would enjoy Channing in that one.
The one that he was trashed
yeah.
into.
Yeah, 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 yeah. We can't tell him until he sees the movie. You can't let him in on that one.
Oh.
No,
I have
that was a really funny movie. I enjoyed that.
He just has a little cameo in it.
A cameo?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see.
Like, when you say cameo, you don't mean like a co-star, right?
No.
Okay,
no.
I just want to make sure.
How about pet?
No, this is one of the Seth Rogen movies.
Oh, okay.
He was a pet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Isn't Craig Robertson in it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The whole crew.
He likes him.
It's the whole crew.
All right, Craig Robertson's in it. I'm good. I'm there.
Yeah, Seth Rogen and James Franco and all their friends to one of those movies.
Oh, okay. They get assaulted by Emma. What is her name?
Emma Watson.
Yeah, Emma Watson comes in and like jacks stuff up.
Assaults the guys. She does. She goes in and beats the guys up.
I think I can see Emma Watson doing that. That's just me. Seriously. What?
So, Saker, when are you looking to get your? You said you guys are working on your fifth album now, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So, when are you looking at probably having that? Completed, and then the goal for putting it out?
The goal for putting it out is actually next month. To be honest, all the songs are done. They're recorded. The music is done. So we have our friend of ours. His name is Too Mellow, and he's another nerdcore rap guy, but he's also an incredible production guy. And he's doing all the production for us. 7 out of the 17 songs on the album are finished now, and we are going to be done by sometime in December, and then I'm going to try to, you know, all the art is pretty much done, and, you know, the tracks are named, and they're ready to get out the door. So hopefully, at the very latest, by like the first week of 2016, I want to have everything done.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I had actually a question when... the first I heard of Nerdcore Ramp was actually back late 90s with the great Luke Ski. I saw him at a convention here in Akron. And, what the... Vicky got it. Oh, okay. Vicky got me again. But, she's the queen of distraction for a purpose.
But it's that scene.
I saw him... Yeah, I know. You can show Kylan in a minute. It's the scene from that movie.
Oh, no.
But do you do any work with the Funny Music Project or Luke Ski or any of those guys?
Oh, man. All right. I just kind of got into Fump stuff about 2 or 3 years ago because we played at a convention with Luke Ski, and then we played with Ookla the Mock and Worm Quartet at a different convention, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. So we've submitted probably 3 or 4 songs to Fump, and every single one has been rejected.
Oh, that's terrible, man.
I don't know if they have it out for us or what. I know that they don't like sampling, so we've tried to stay with the songs that have original beats that we've done.
Yeah.
But still, like, I don't know. As far as work we've done with them, Worm Quartet was on our last album. We did a song about butt tattoos with him. That was a ton of fun.
Yeah.
We actually just performed at a Con on the Cob for the first time because Worm Quartet was there. That was a blast. And I don't know, man, but they don't want us. Fump doesn't want us. It makes me a little sad, I'll be honest.
Are there some like writing campaigns we can take part in or
Absolutely, yeah. Write Fump and tell them we want to hear more terrible crappy music and put 2D6 on right now. But no, Luke is a cool dude. Yeah, we worked with him at a couple conventions so far. Okay. And I see him around every so often. I saw him at Gen Con this year, and he's a lot of fun.
Cool. So where could actually people... I know we can find you on Bandcamp, but where else can people actually listen to you guys?
Yeah, 2d6music.com has links to... we have so much crap there. I'm actually going to it right now. It has links to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Bandcamp. I don't know why we have all of those things, but we do. So if you want to follow us in our everyday minutia, brushing our teeth and feeding our cats and stuff, then check that out. It's good stuff.
Do they ever dress them up?
Huh? Oh, the cats?
Did you dress up the cats, too?
No, I totally should. Yeah. I dress up my poo, but not my cats. That says a lot about my values in life.
But then the cats would probably kill you before the poop would.
Yeah,
that's true. Poop is fairly benign.
So, Saker, before we call it a day on this, let's go ahead and have... you said basically 2d6music.com. Is there any other place that people can find you specifically if they want to talk to you?
To find me, I mean, yeah. 2d6music@gmail.com. If you're curious, if you have a question, if you want to, you know, get us for your convention or whatever. Or Facebook. We respond to messages pretty quick on Facebook if people have questions there. But I don't know. You could come to my house. I live at 7428 Hard Road, Columbus, Ohio, 43335.
Oh my God!
For my
stalkers
out there, 330-784-2864.
Wow.
Give me a call. You can. This is really sad because those are not. Somebody's going to get a ton of calls after this podcast.
I wish we could find out how many people get that call.
I'm like, that's not his number.
So. Oh, that's right. You just called me, Kyle.
I did.
So just get a hold of us on Gmail, 2d6music.com. You can find us there.
Okay. So, Geeksters, Kylan, did you have anything else? Well, wait, before we get wrapping this up,
right.
Did you have anything else, Saker? Any good stories or anything? You've had a really terrible time or anything?
Oh, I mean, I could give you convention horror stories for days, but
that could work too.
I don't know if I want to. Should I?
Guys or girls? Which?
We'll go with one really good one.
Yeah.
I caught that. All right, let me tell you about So, as anyone who's ever been to a 2D6 concert knows, we like to throw candy at our concerts.
Yeah.
And we put that in our description for our band real big. Like, you know, we're going to throw some candy and you can have candy, whatever. So, we went to this tiny little convention at a local college. And it was so, like, the crowd was like a dozen people. And God bless them. They were so sweet. But it was the worst convention we've ever been to. And so, one girl has her camera out. We're throwing candy or whatever. After the show, I mean, this is a super young convention, too. She was probably, like, 14 or 15. She was loving it. But her dad came up and was like, "You broke my daughter's camera. You threw a Butterfinger at it, and it broke the camera." And I was like, "Oh, man, that sucks." And he was like, "So how are you going to recompense us?" And I was like, "Well, are you serious?" Like, he's like, "Yeah, you're responsible for this." So we made probably $30 at that convention, and we lost about $80 paying this girl back for her camera. I just felt bad. And the convention, to be fair, somebody from the convention was like, I was like, "Hey, you know, do you think you can help mediate this?" And they came over and they listened, and they were like, "Oh no, you guys are absolutely, how dare you, weren't even supposed to throw candy." Also, I forgot to mention that halfway through that show, they came in and told us to be quieter at this concert.
Wow.
So I think the number one thing that people want from concerts is quiet solitude. So, yeah, that was just a nightmare of a convention. I won't say a name, but okay. Yeah, there's a lot of little community college conventions that we won't do anymore.
You inspired your lullaby album, right?
Oh, yeah, our kids album.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we gotta put out a kids album.
That brings up a question that I had. That Vicky and I have been to one anime convention. That's it.
Okay.
And it was up in Elyria, Ohio, ShinbokuCon, which it was a great con. The problem is, I don't know if you've dealt with this also, that
I wouldn't say the name as much as you do.
Well, it don't matter. But no, the only thing, I had a great time at the con. The problem is, half or more of the crowd is like 15 or 12 to 15, and they're dressed as their favorite anime characters.
Which was naked.
Yes. Which is always short.
Which is wearing a bra and a really, really short skirt or shorts. I mean, do you have to deal with this much?
It's weird, because I've been going to anime conventions since 2000, and I mean, I don't want to, I guess I'll show my age, but in 2000 I was 15 years old, and so, was like, "Oh, this is cool, this is awesome, I love anime conventions, this is a lot of fun," and then as I've grown up, I mean, it's kind of like being a teacher, right? Like, you age and everyone else stays the same age. And that's horrifying, because now I'm going to conventions and I'm 30 years old and I'm like, "Oh, no, this is bad. This is wrong." And also, I feel like everyone's grandpa. And that's another reason why I love Con on the Cob so much, is that, you know, I get to hang out with people who are more my peers.
So. That is true. I noticed that our... Not so much at the first Dragon Con, but the second Dragon Con we went to.
Yeah.
And you know, you have all these different tracks. And so, like, for the most part, we know we're at the alternate history track, okay?
Right.
And for the most part, that's about, you know, people in mid-20s and up.
Mm-hmm.
They're about. But, you know, especially if you're in the merch area, or if you're at one of the concert venues. And that's pretty much like one of the places where everybody's getting together, right?
Right.
And you see all the anime people coming. And it's true, you know, that it means a bra and panties and nothing else, pretty much. And I'm sitting there like, no.
Well, that's just it. Especially when you've got a huge con of all ages and you're looking at it like, do I need to know whether they're 18, or do I look at all?
Well, you know, it's hard, because I'm all for, you know, people can wear what they want, and I'm not for body shaming or anything, and, you know, but it's just, you'd think the parents would be more like, "No, you can't go out in public with that." I mean, more power to them. If they want to wear what they want to wear, go for it. But if, God, I don't know. Man, we all sound like the old people. Like,
yeah.
Back in my day,
we wore snow pants and that's it.
In my day, Trixie wore pants that went from her neck all the way down to her ankles, and we liked it.
Yeah. If I were her dad... Yeah, you know, it's just...
Dang, go it.
Well, Gummit Speed Racer had the Mach 5, and it was good enough for him, and it was going to be good enough for you, too. Sorry.
You know what, Kylan? You do that too well.
Sorry. You are the oldest one in the room.
I don't care. I don't look as old as I am, so... You know, and we still threw the dopest party act at Con on Cop. Geekwatch won. Woo!
That was pretty awesome. I enjoyed the brownies.
Well, you have to come. Now, apparently, next year. Oh, you should definitely.
Actually, he should be part of next year.
You should be part of next year's party.
We'll talk to him after the show here.
Yeah, Andy has plans. An idea for plans. A contest.
Yeah, we'll do.
Oh, yeah. Andy told me about this idea. I'm not sure if I'm up for it, but we'll talk.
Andy's got some good ideas. He's always got ideas.
I'm already working on drinks. He does.
That's right.
I'm already working on drinks.
Yeah, Vicky's already working on drinks for next year. Actually, I had one more thing real quick before we wrap this up. It's not about 2D6, but you reminded me, because you're talking about alt history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. November 20th, Amazon has a new show coming also.
What?
Have you heard about Man in the High Castle?
Oh, yeah. I got the book at home.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the premiere episode of it?
Yes.
It looks amazing.
It does.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So, Jessica Jones, Man in the High Castle, both. Do you know what this is, Taker?
I don't. I mean, Jessica Jones, I do, but what's Man in the High Castle?
Well, Kylan, you've read the book, so you want to let him know what this is?
It's based on a novel by Philip K. Dick, and it's written from the perspective of this world where Germany wins World War II.
Okay.
Or the Axis powers.
It's set in the 60s. It's the show set.
Yeah. It's late 60s, early 60s, okay, something like that.
And so, Germany and Japan wins World War II. And so you see the world from that perspective. But then I think there's like a window that opens.
Yeah, there's something that almost, the idea I got from it was maybe that we actually won the war, but they won the war of propaganda. And through that, nobody actually in America knows we won the war in Europe.
Ah,
what that looks, because all the film and stuff of World War II that we've seen of Iwo Jima and all that stuff actually still exists, but it's illegal to have here. So somehow the Third Reich and Japan conquered America through propaganda or something. Somehow they're in charge.
The Axis powers were victorious, and they kind of rule over the U.S.
Yeah. Well,
The war went on to like 47. Or something.
Yeah.
It was longer.
But a lot of the show is about this underground movement and trying to defeat the Germans and the Japanese, obviously. But a lot of it is the anti-propaganda.
Because
you got people finding these films. You got people, they're illegal films, so people are trying to hide them and get them back and forth and that type of thing.
Right.
But you were mentioning alt history. That's basically what this is.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about that, so...
So, that's awesome. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. So it's interesting that they're actually putting that up the same day as they're putting Jessica Jones up on Netflix.
I'm going to be watching Jessica Jones.
Does Amazon release a whole series at once, like Netflix?
As far as I know, they are.
That's because people know that, we don't like to sleep.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll be binging Jessica Jones.
Yeah. Well, Geeksters, we're starting to wrap this down. This would be a good place to... Stuck, you said you're going to give us another song. We're going to go, you guys are going to hear that now, and then we'll come back and give the wrap up.
Your favorite show is never coming back. It's dead in the ground, and that's that. In a flatline corpse, don't need support, so don't post those words to change.org. And I know it hurts to abort a run that was so much fun, but I must retort that your favorite show is never coming back. It's dead in the ground, and that's that.
It's obvious nostalgia's the way of the geek, but I'm tired of you crying out every single week. And like each day in the subset spent, just bemoaning for the shows that to come then went. Yo, are you done yet? I got knowledge to share. Your favorite show exists, like, right over there. It's on a DVD. You can watch it for free. No one's gonna make you give it back. Trust me, it ain't the DivX player, no DRM. They might not be new, but you can still see them. But ain't that what we do? Overanalyze the joy away. There's still lots of merchandise, like shirts and hats and toys, okay? Get your Star Wars panties out your Brady Bunch. Because if they could, I got a hunch to force out the new. All your stuff, they dissolve. Better to watch and love than never watch at all.
Your favorite show is never coming back. It's dead in the ground, and that's that. And a flatline corpse don't need support, so don't post those words to change.org. And I know it hurts to abort a run that was so much fun, but I must retort that your favorite show is never coming back. It's dead in the ground,
and that's that. The network passed on the show when the show passed on. I can hear the ding dong of the death knell. But before the ringing of the tenth bell stopped, the mourners dropped to their knees and began to tear at the loose dirt. Confused and hurt, yeah, then we don't want to lose her. I toss it to Kubler Ross, who can move your boss and remove the cross. That's the you guys. But oh no, you're stuck on the bargaining, saying you would do nearly anything regarding the resurrection of your favorite empire. Though there's a very real reason that Zombie was retired and the Raiders all moved on, and so did the actors, but fuck art. Kickstart that shit. Benefactors pitch out to all of them like a million ducats to half-ass their shit straight into a bucket.
Reboot the Flintstones, gotta make it edgy though, make it more secretive, loyal water buffalo. Got a new catchphrase, one that's more attitude. YOLO swagger, Silver Spro, cut the yabba dabba do.
Reboot Lamb Chop with a bigger budget. Stick your hands up Jerry Lewis like a puppet. And who done it? It might never be blatant. The Matlock reboot with J.J. Abrams.
Reboot the Turtles, wait, they did it, shit. Reboot Ren and Stimpy, wait, they tried it, shit. There's a common theme here. When you reboot shows 99 of 100 times, that shit blows.
Reboot, reboot, just for the irony. A new Harry Potter with triple the Hermione. Reboot anything with more CG. More CG, I said more CG.
Your favorite show is never coming back. It's dead in the ground, and that's that. And a flatline corpse don't need support, so don't post those words to change.org. And I know it hurts to abort a run that was so much fun, but I must retort that your favorite show is never coming back. It's dead in the ground, and that's that. Take my check, take my cash, make a sequel mostly trash. Let me down greedily, don't take nostalgia from me.
Guys, Adam Baldwin invented the term Gamergate.
Okay, geeksers, that was once again 2D6. I want to thank Stuck for being here with us. Thank you, sir.
I think you killed him.
Awesome. Hey, not a problem.
Okay, there he is. Now, for you guys, you get a hold of us. Remember, you can go to, it was 2D6.music.com, right? Okay, so make sure you go to
2D6music.com.
Yeah, check them out there. Give them a little bit of love. Buy their albums. Also, you can find us at geekwatch1.com. You can also find us on iTunes and Stitcher at geekwatch1. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Kylan and Ken. Email us, guys. We're still looking for emails. Let us know what you like, what you don't like about the show. If you like the interview with Stuck here from 2D6, let us know you want to hear more interviews. We'd love to do interviews. But you can get a hold of us at kylanandken@gmail.com. We're also on the Tangibound and the Weeby Geeks networks at tangiboundnetwork.com and weebygeeks.com. And now, also, go to our website, geekwatch1.com. Check out our affiliates. Click through there for anything you want to buy from them. It doesn't cost you any extra. It gives us a little bit of love.
Don't forget, the holidays are coming up. All of these sites, you know, get your Christmas shopping or your Hanukkah shopping or your Kwanzaa shopping or your anything shopping done.
Yes, also, Miss Dawn put up, went back to Teespring and put the t-shirts back up on Teespring. So, one of your Geek Watch 1 t-shirts for Christmas. They're awesome stocking stuffers.
You've got until the beginning of December to get them this time, and they'll be delivered in time for Christmas. And according to our friend Will Thatcher, they make great engagement presents.
Okay.
Yeah.
He talked to us on Twitter and said, if you ask someone to marry you, this is what you want, is a Geek Watch 1 t-shirt.
Sounds good to me.
I think it screams romance myself.
It does.
Also, one other one, go to patreon.com, geeksters. We're still looking for that first patron. You'll probably get a bunch of extras for being the first patron.
You'll get probably every single extra just for giving us like $5 or $10 a month.
Please.
So, for Stuck, for Miss Vicky, for Miss Dawn, for Kylan, and me, I'm Ken. Remember,
no matter where you go, there you go.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.